My dad used to do a bit of DJing back in the day, and so he's got loads of those records, stylistics and all sorts of stuff. And,
oh,
and
especially, was he scratch? I bet he was scratch. He did it all scratch DJing, which is...
nothing quite like that, no. He was very... Hello and welcome along to the penultimate episode in the current series of List Envy. This is the podcast in which I, Mark Steadman, work with a guest to build a top five list on a topic they choose. This week's guest is Elliot Farrer, who is one half of the Scratched Record podcast. We had a load of fun talking about music and albums of 2020. That is the top five list that we are building in this episode, which I did say is the penultimate one. I will talk more about that in the ultimate one in the last episode, and we'll have a little chat. We'll catch up a little bit later. But for now, let us crack straight on. We got to talking really early doors about vinyl, and I'd not long hence received my first proper record player, and I was really quite pleased about it. And so we started talking about how they actually work and how they're not quite as simple as you might think, because they don't just come fully working out of the box.
I wish it was as simple as, like, you can get them ones that are in a box and it's just stick your record on and play. But the problem with it is that they're awful. they're not the quality of sound you get out of them, you just might as well listen to it through like a tape deck in your nan's car. Like it just, the quality of it's horrendous. But then you've got, so it means you've got to buy like turntable, preamps, amps, the works, everything to get it all completely set up is crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure which bit of my setup has got the preamp in it. I'm not sure, because basically I've got an Audio Technica manual turntable, and then the sort of recommended paired speakers, which is just like a normal paired speaker setup. So. Yeah, and it's, you know, for my purposes, for the living room, it sounds lovely. But for the first few days, I was going, why? Like, I can hear, with everything turned off, I can hear the needle, like, grinding on the record. Ooh. And then I finally looked, and I was like, because, you know, you've got the little arm, the little lever to lever the needle down. And it's like, oh, like the needle is face planting into the record and basically burying its face into the record and just like really digging in. And so it's then I realized, no, like I've fundamentally misunderstood how counterweights, the whole counterweight and anti-skate thing works. And I finally got it set up and it's just like, ah, oh, that's lovely now.
Look, my co-host is one, like he's really into records. Like I collect them, but I've got some of the most scuff record players in the world. Like my record players are dreadful. So I'm like, I'm waiting to invest in a really good setup. But I like collecting them. We've had some really cool ones through recently that have been like sent to us from bands and stuff like that. And I love the artwork that comes with a vinyl. Like that to me is like majority of it. Like the songs and stuff, they sound so much better on vinyl, but you can access the tracks anywhere. The artwork that comes in a vinyl is so unique and so in depth that like on a creative level, like it allows you to go into so many different lanes of art. And oh, that's my, I love vinyls for that aspect completely.
I think it's satisfying two aspects. It's recently I've realized how I really enjoy the real nerdy aspect of a collection, and getting in, like really cataloging and categorizing and all that stuff. It's going to satisfy that aspect. But also I love, for me, it's less about the artwork, although I appreciate it. For me, it's the ceremony of, you know, taking the songs out and then putting the needle on. And then the lovely thing of like, when you're done putting, like this idea of putting the music to bed. It's like, yeah, you close everything up and you put the thing back in, you know, the tone arm back in its little cradle, and you put the lid down. It's just like, I've put the songs to bed for now.
Yeah,
just,
yeah, yeah.
All of that is just lovely and cozy. And I love it.
It's just a brilliant little process, isn't it? Like it's a full, it feels like, it kind of feels like you've got to work for the music to some extent. Yeah. And when you start putting it on and sitting it down on the deck, and it's just, and it slowly starts moving, you're like, this is amazing.
Lovely and rewarding.
Yeah. I need to get a three speed, because I've got a two speed at the minute, but I need a three speed because my nan gave me all of her records And you know, like the really heavy ones that are almost made out of stone. I've got a collection of like ones from like the 40s.
Yeah.
And they're her mum's. So they're like, they're like fourth generation, and they're just sat on top of my wardrobe because I don't have a three speed. And I want to play them because it's like old blues. It's, you know, there's some classical in there. There's some old school jazz in there and stuff. And I want to be able to get them out, stick them on a tape. I don't know what quality they're in, really. Like, but they're the ones that are so hard that, like, unless you bend them when carrying them around, like they're gonna stick. They don't scratch like the newer 70, like the newer ones.
None of your coloured vinyl nonsense.
No, none of that. No, I do have some coloured. have some coloured vinyls, but I don't. The Lathams did one recently that I've got hold of. Their newest EP, which has all of their new Scar type stuff that they brought out, and it's brilliant. Okay. It's such a The new Scar tracks that the Lathams are bringing out has been, like, they just have been dabbling with it. And it seems to have blown them completely. Like, they were growing at a rapid pace, but now they released this random, like, Scar track, and everyone was like, sorry? Where did that come from?
Oh, man. All right. I'm very excited now because I know nothing about these. And that is one of my favorite genres. And I also think it just sounds, I think brass anyway, just sounds so great in vinyl.
Yeah.
I want to hear that. That's exciting. I'll have to check that out. We should talk about music. I've got a confession to make.
Go on.
I had to do the research on this because I really didn't have any picks. Because I think I kind of buried my head in. From about the end of 2019, I stopped listening to new music. And I've only sort of recently got back in. And after doing the research for this, I'm like, oh, great. I've got some new stuff that I'm really enjoying. So I'm very happy to know that new stuff is still being made that I enjoy.
It's literally the reason that we do what we do. When we started our, I like calling it our like musical journey. Mm. Like we're going on this journey of finding new bands. It's almost Indiana Jones. Like I feel like we're looking for this hidden gem. Like I love it. And we started it in June time. It was like from March, but then we started releasing podcasts and interviews and stuff in June and getting really into the scene. And I hadn't listened to an album really since then, because everyone that we were listening to were like, had like maybe three singles or like the odd EP and stuff. So I was going through and I had to figure out what was released in 2019, what was released in 2020, and what was released like early this year.
Yeah.
It was so hard to figure it all out. And I was like, what was I listening to last year? I'm obsessive. So like once I get into an album, I'll just play that album on repeat. But then once I've played it out, I might not touch it for 6 months and then I'll get back into it. So it was really difficult to pick. And even though there wasn't many albums released last year, there was still so many to pick from that I was like, I really should say that one is good. Mm-hmm. But did I listen to it that much? I can't really remember.
there was one that I got recommended, I think, towards the end of last year. And I enjoyed it, but I couldn't have said that it was going to make my, you know, make my top five. And it was the only one that I could definitively point to and say that, yeah, that came out and I listened to it then. There's been singles, there's been lots of little bits and bobs, but I haven't sort of really committed to an album. So I've done my research based on a few corroborated lists and then come and actually listened to them and gone, all right, this is what I think. So I reckon, I wonder, like, are our lists going to be quite different because you're going to be a bit more ensconced in, you know, possibly slightly more obscure stuff. So it'd be interesting to see where we go. On that note then, do you want to give me what is your absolute number one top item, top album that has to be on the list?
Right, so my one that I've really been listening to when it came out, and as soon as it came out, I didn't listen to it for a couple of weeks, but then I was like, right, let me sit down, listen to it front to back to front, mix it all up, listen to it over and over again and see whether I like it. And I got obsessed. Like, this album was probably one of my favorite albums probably towards of all time that I wouldn't put it like it's that good, and it is Youngblood's most recent album.
Okay, yeah.
Weirdo.
Mm-hmm. I'm aware of the artist.
Yeah.
But I don't have many reference points. What grabbed you about it?
The uniqueness of it, because every track on it is so different, but yet has this Youngblood feel.
Mm-hmm.
He's very much an artist that can apply himself to any form of genre, but at the same time only makes music that he wants to make. He has this massive thing about being solely himself, no matter what the case is. So he's known for wearing dresses and makeup and stuff like that, but at the same time will still chuck on a set of creepers and like suit trousers and a big oversized t-shirt with a massive chain. Like, he just loves being whoever he wants to be the time that he wants to be.
Yep.
And that personality alongside his music of making like this really aggressive, loud, but yet thoughtful and emotional music alongside that personality really does run well to make this. It makes like a community of people that are so like, I want to use the word liberal because like, but not in a political sense. Like they're so like, so liberal and so like, you do you. And as long as you're like not coming through and inflicting pain on me, like,
yes,
you lot crack on. Like I'm not bothered. Like you can be exactly who you want to be because I'm not fussed. I'm going to be who I want to be. So why would I expect you to be any different? And I think that message overall from Youngblood and that album, I just think it's being that black sheep but being happy to be that black sheep.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it's cool. It sits really well with me because I feel like that's very similar to who I am.
Yeah, you've intrigued me. I'm gonna dig into that. Weirdo was the album?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna double check it was Weirdo and not Weird. Because I now that I've said it so many times, you know, when you're like...
It says Weird.
It's just Weird.
Dr. Internet says it's Weird.
Yeah, it is. Just Weird, not Weirdo. We'll Weird.
Yep, that's fine. Awesome. I'm going to have a lot of homework, which is good.
Yeah, give that one a listen because it's fairly, like, it's pop punk based, but it has some influence from... It has a lot of influence from, there is some ska influence in there. There is some bits and bobs that like mix up this pop punk into make it much more modern than like your All Time Low or your Blink 182s and that stuff. So it's got a nice mix.
Fantastic. Ooh. Right. Okay. Well, I haven't got these in that great an order, but I'm going to go with Run the Jewels.
Okay.
RTJ4. I'd heard of Run the Jewels before, but I didn't know they still made hip hop like this.
Yeah, Run the Jewels are amazing.
Oh my god. What a disingenuous way to piss away existence is a line from Walking in the Snow, and that's just like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
But then, you know, there's some, I mean, I'm too old to describe music. I'm not allowed to talk about music anymore because all of the language that I have it's now gone.
Oh, but no, use it. You've got to,
There are some fat beats. there are some cyclics.
With a pH. But,
definitely with a pH. Like really sort of dirty, like sort of grinding, like big bass. And just like, you know, really kind of old school kind of vibe, and they're tipping the hat to that as well, you know, knowingly and you know, references and stuff. And there's references to 80s pop culture, which is, you know, okay, right up my alley. But yeah, and you know, it has, I think Walking in the Snow specifically like has a thing that references the events of last year and the Black Lives Matter movement, I Can't Breathe. And it does that with the kind of frustrated aggression that I think you need. I disliked Just, which is the one that's got Pharrell Williams, because there was a trend in music, and especially in sort of hip hop, of a particular style, an aesthetic style that I really can't abide. But apart from that one track, I'm just like, yeah, this is one that I'd quite happily throw on the vinyl because I think it would sound really good with that kind of sound. So yeah.
Yeah, old school hip hop and that style of music. Like I grew up listening to that style of music. That's when I played basketball for majority of my life, and being surrounded by that street culture always come alongside with sneakers, hip hop, and like just being who you want to express yourself in that lane.
Yeah.
So it was, I was always listening to Wu-Tang, I was always listening to ODB, old school Busta Rhymes, like Big L, Big Daddy Kane, like that. So Run the Jewels is something that I've listened to for years, but also like this newest album, I didn't, because I've been so ingrained in this indie music stuff, like I've not had the chance to sit down. I do have a hip hop album in my top five though.
Oh, cool.
So, which is, it's grime. It's UK version, but it is there. But yeah, Run the Jewels, that's a good pick. That is a very good pick.
Ooh, excellent. Yes. Okay, what's number two?
Right. So my number two is it's one that it came out in 2020, but I listened to it this year and got really into it this year. And I'm going to have to say it's another pop punk album because I'm fascinated by it at the minute. And as I was saying, obsessiveness, I'm in that at the moment.
Sure.
And it's a band called Girlfriends in America. And it's a self-titled album. And it's with a bloke called Travis Mills. And he's a radio DJ. He's always been a vocalist. He's always done bits and bobs and stuff. But this is his newest band. And there's so many brilliant tracks on this album. And they all wrap up into a really nice rounded piece of... a rounded project. It just, you know, how much more they're going to do as a band, I don't know. Because he's so ingrained, he's on Beats One and like he's got a massive platform in that, and he's a podcaster and does all that stuff. And he's now released this track with this album with one of his mates, and it's something that's on a completely different level.
Nice. I'm going to probably say this with all of them, but I'm not aware of Girlfriend's work. I don't know if you know, we early on in our run, my friend Brendan and I, who's an American, we did our top five pop punk albums. Five pop punk artists from the early 2000s, which the era.
Yeah.
And we ended up with quite a nice list. We got quite a good combination, actually. So yeah, it might be worth spooling back, because you might find some stuff there that you'll enjoy.
It's making this resurgence at the minute. Like Avril Lavigne's coming back. She's rearing her head again. You know, she's poking her head out of the woodwork, which is amazing.
She's got something to say.
Oh, absolutely. And this Girlfriends are now like taking it by storm a bit. We're massive supporters of a band in the States called We Demand Parachutes.
Okay.
And they've got a track called Ketamine. And it's, you know, it's got that old school grainy pop punk vibe to it. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't got a chance to listen to them, We Demand Parachutes. They're like a tiny little band. I want to say they're based out of Massachusetts, and they're brilliant. They're really, really good. And that track Ketamine's sick. But this resurgence of pop punk is, I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
I heard someone describe on a podcast a couple of days ago a 2000s revival, and I just thought, oh God, no, I'm too old. Oh. I was okay with the 90s revival. I'm not ready for the 2000s revival. I feel like I'm still living it.
Yeah, the 2000s, it is happening. It's weird.
It is.
Like, you've got bands coming out that are similar to early Arctic Monkeys, and they're releasing that type of tracks, and late Oasis stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've the pop punk's coming back.
Yeah.
Grime's making its motion back towards like actual grime instead of this drill stuff. You know, the fashion we can leave there. I'm happy with leaving the fashion of the 2000s in the 2000s. Like, No one needs that in their life. I don't need to be pulling out the spray on skinny jeans with frosted tips. Like they're not for me. I'm okay.
Yep. So yeah, so we can pick and choose what we want to bring forward.
100%.
Okay, I'm going to go for my number two, I think, with Women in Music Part 3 by Haim.
Haim, yes.
This is like, it starts off with some sort of singer-songwriter stuff. It's all kind of singer-songwritery, but the beginning, it's a bit more sort of crunchy beats. Another Try is a really cute song. Like, I listened to that, I was like, that's cute. That's just, it's a lovely kind of reggae-inspired. There's you know, a bit of that vibe to it that I just thought, yeah, I really enjoyed. I knew of Haim and knew, like, I was aware of them, but this was an album that I was just like, yeah, there's some really nice and a great selection of different styles. Like, there's a few artists here that I've got in my list who I really enjoyed, but you're like, yeah, every track you can look at that and go, yeah, that's one of theirs. Whereas Haim, I think there's a bit more, I like to be taken by surprise sometimes, and there's a bit more of that here.
Yeah, there's an ambiguity to what Haim music is. You know, there's this soulful singer-songwriter emotional tracks that they release, but they also can throw themselves onto a messier sounding, rougher edges beat as well, and a rougher edges track.
Yep. Okay, what is number three for you?
Number three for me, I'm going to go with something a little bit different, and I'm going to take it away from the realm of indie music for my third album. And I'm going to pick JME's Grime MC.
Okay.
That he released last year, early last year. And one of the reasons that I'm picking this one specifically, I'm a massive Grime fan. I've always loved JME. I think him and his brother Skepta have polarized the scene when it comes to Grime. Like, they were there at the start. They're still really, really prominent now. But the way that JME released this album is what fascinated me the most about it, because he only sold it in physicals for the first like quarter of the album, and then was releasing them as singles as he was releasing music videos.
Okay.
So he released it as CDs. I think CDs and vinyls was the only way that you could buy this album, to take it back to how it was when he was first starting out on Grime. So like having to shift these CDs, and he wanted to take it back to it being more of like a personable, you had to go to a shop, you had to go and buy the CD if you wanted to listen to the album. And he made sure no one leaked it anywhere. So you couldn't, as soon as it was like copied up onto, you could put it on your computer and listen to it if you own the CD. But as soon as anyone leaked it, it was taken down. Like, you couldn't hear any of the album unless you had the CD until later on in the year. So that, but the tracks on that, like, it is how Grime should sound. Like, it sounds like his older stuff when it comes to like the track, like his album Blam that he released in, I want to say 2013, but could be wrong. But when he released that, it's that style of Grime that is just, better, superior, I think, could be how I'd describe it when it comes to Grime and like UK hip hop. Like, it's that clean lyrics, clean beat, spoken, understandable, but at the same time, like, still runs with street slang, still tells the same stories, but tells stories about himself.
Yep.
And almost can make a joke out of it and be like, I'm not going to rap about carrying a gun or smoking and doing drugs and stuff, because I'm a vegan and I don't carry guns. So I'd be lying. So like, I think that album and the release of it specifically is what fascinated me so much about it.
Yeah. I like the idea that it's funny, like, there is a real, I think, a move towards a real concept of ownership again. I don't know if you're aware, like in the tech sort of Bitcoin scene, there's this whole NFT thing. And I think people are really getting interested again in the idea of being able to actually own a thing, and to say, this is, you know, this is, there are many like it, but this is mine. And like, I resisted Spotify and the like for a while. Not like I enjoyed them, but and I was glad they existed, but I always felt like, no, I have to have my copy of the music. And I think that gets borne out because sometimes music disappears from from places.
Yeah,
and I know I've still got a hard drive somewhere that's got all of, you know, quote unquote, my music on it.
Yeah.
And some of it is stuff I won't be able to get elsewhere. You know, I've got, I'm a big fan of a local band here called Misty's Big Adventure. And they are currently 100% of my vinyl collection. and you know, I've followed them for like the single I was playing yesterday is 19 years old. And somewhere, like, I've got a live gig recording that I did on a camcorder, and I've got their like unreleased stuff that I was told, like, that, you know, Gareth, he doesn't like too many people owning this, because I think, you know, he wasn't delighted with a lot of the stuff. But, you know, I've got that somewhere, and that's never going to be released anywhere. And I want to keep that stuff. And so I think the idea of ownership, like with the CDs, with vinyl, there is obviously, I think, more of a growing need for people to be able to say, this is mine.
I do think you're right. Like the NFT market, I've been really getting into it because I am a massive tech, like, I'm a bit of a geek when it comes to it. Like, I am a bit of a nerd. Like, I will happily sit and stream, or I'll sit and play games, or I'll sit and watch people's streams. And that industry is now getting so much into this NFT stuff.
Yeah.
That I ignored Bitcoin for a long while. I ignored, you know, all of the cryptocurrencies and the alt currencies and all that stuff. I completely ignored it. But now when everyone's talking about NFTs, and it's something that sits with me, because, like, I'd like to say that in a weird way, like, I'm a creative, but in a sense that I do still get someone else to do the actual art, but I come with the idea. I just can't draw. So it's like, sure. Yeah. So it's like the idea of an NFT fascinates me. And when I saw that Kaiser Chiefs were going to be the first artist to release an album as an NFT, I was fascinated. I was like, what does this mean? Trying to work it out and like understanding NFTs a bit more and how to put one on the marketplace. And, you know, because it's going to get massively oversaturated.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be...
It'll settle down. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it'll settle down. But I think it'll be in the same respect of oversaturation of the vinyl market. So like, it's oversaturated, the vinyl market, but there is still going to be some vinyls that are worth so much more, because it's like a first edition Oasis vinyl now in mint condition is going to be worth a lot of money, or a sample vinyl that they had from when, you know, Oasis came out. If you had one of the first single vinyls on a first release now, you're probably going to have something that's quite like economically beneficial for you. So if these NFTs, like, I was looking into releasing one. I wanted to get into understanding how to market and
how to mint one, and yeah.
Yeah, how to get it, and, like, you know, paying gas fees and how to put it onto the market and how to get it onto the blockchain and all that stuff. And it just learning all that, I think there is going to be this need of ownership, but not of necessarily physical stuff. It's going to be a need of ownership in a digital manner. It's like this new... it's a new wave of thinking. Like, the Bitcoin stuff's crazy. It baffles me. It blows my mind how it's got, like, literally, like, 5 years ago you could buy it for like 300-400 quid a Bitcoin. They peaked yesterday at 40,000. 40,000! It's crazy. But I do think you're right. The ownership stuff, it's coming back. I hope so anyway, because I love it. I'm always here. We're always getting stuff sent through, or like listening to vinyls, or like buying stuff and supporting these up and coming bands. And if any of them make it, we've got stuff from like their first releases that we're like, we were here at the beginning. Yeah. We've got it.
Oh, definitely. And as a token, like, so I run, so my day job, I run a company that helps people with podcasts, and I made a challenge coin this year because It was to send out to people who I've worked with from the early days of the company, to like a small select few, to say like, thank you for backing me early on. And they're getting sent out, and I keep one here because, I mean, it's a fidget thing, but also it's wonderful to have a tangible, properly, something you can touch as a representation of a thing you've made. You know, I can't touch the code that I wrote that builds my product and my service, but I can, you know, touch that coin and be like, that's a physical token of the thing I've made, or a totem. And for music to have the same thing, to be able to come back to that, to say, I can hold this piece of art in my hand, or I've got this proof of the provenance of this piece of art, and you know, you can have a copy, but we all know that I've got the original, and there is, you know, there's a record to say that. That's that has weight to it.
That's what we're that's why I always create like clothing is like my go-to when it comes to like, if we're looking to fund some part of the podcast, or like, so we're releasing a t-shirt that I've designed recently, and we've not announced it or nothing yet, but we essentially got 7 bands involved, and they are on the back in like an Indiana Jones theme map.
Oh, nice.
And we've used the Indiana Jones theme stuff as a logo. We got a cartographer to draw it and stuff like that. But for me, like, the whole having it, like, we're doing t-shirts, prints, and then the cigarette packet design, which is like one of our, like, it's now our iconic logo. We kind of have made them into stickers. So we're selling all these tangible objects. But like, for me, I'd rather try and fund our shit, our company down this end, by being like, hey, even though we can't provide like a, we're not providing like a massive service, we're providing entertainment. But if you want to support us, like, don't just donate, like, here's something we've made. Like, if you want to support, like, here's
the thing you can have.
Yeah. So like the cigarette packet actually came from our first release of a t-shirt for our 20th episode, and still having these, like, we released a black one and a white one, and it had the cigarette packet on the front and like a tape with episode 20 on the back. And it was a really cool piece of art that we managed to get done, but still having them.
Yeah.
I'm going to, like, there's something that I'm going to make sure I keep forever, because they're just that token, as you were saying, that token of having something it fascinates me. It blows my mind, because like, now I've got this, I've got it painted on my wall. Like, it's all such a developed thing that now I can be like, right, I'm going to keep this. I won't wear it probably loads now, because we're releasing more and more and more stuff. Mm-hmm. We're getting more and more designs done. I'm just going to put it in a box. And when I have kids and stuff like that, I'll bring it back out later and be like, look how cool this is. I made this. This is sick. And they'll probably go, oh, that's it's not an NFT though, is it?
Right. So I think it's me. So I didn't think I'd say this, but I'm going to pick the boss. I'm going to go with Bruce, with Mr. Springsteen.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay. I've not listened to this album, actually.
I've never been the biggest, like, not that I've never been the biggest Springsteen fan. I think it's just, I've never really delved that deep into the deeper cuts, you know. I know about as much to know that, like everybody does, that Born in the USA isn't what Republicans think it's about. you know, that's about the level I'm at. And I understand the reverence. And it's interesting that you've got this working class hero who never did a scrap of work in his life. Yeah. But yet he's this salt of the earth, you know, singing for the everyman. But still, what I enjoyed about this album, Letter to You, is he's still doing that. He's still doing that. Mm. And he's still doing it really well. There's enough of a slight modern edge, but it's really at its core. It's in the same way that like country music hasn't really changed. Mm. It's got other influences, and there's the sort of that hip hop crossover, and the Zac Brown Band who are doing interesting things with country. But the core of country music is still country music, and his kind of working class, like, anthem, big bold rock numbers, he's still pumping them out, and they sound great. It's just a really solid album. And the title track is fantastic. Also, Janie Needs a Shooter is really good. It's just it's just a really, I don't know, it's just got a really solid album. And it's great to see that he's still doing that, and his voice is still great. I thought it'd go a bit Bob Dylan, but no, it's like
he's still managed to bow it out.
He's still got it. So yeah, I'm pimping the boss.
yeah. Springsteen. I do like Springsteen. I've never been into him huge because it's very American.
Yeah,
it's a very American rock and roll. Like I'm quite a. I'm more of a Brit pop or pop punk. Yep. If I'm going to go American, I'm probably going to go pop punk or hip hop. Like they're like my genres when it comes to America. So when Bruce Springsteen's released it, it kind of goes under the radar for me.
Yeah,
I have to admit. But I'm going to have to give that one a check out because he is an amazing artist. There's one Paul McCartney's released last year. Mm-hmm. It's not one of my top five, but it's again one of these old heads that's still creating the music that's like they've been about for years now. And they're still slapping albums that are sitting like top 10 in the charts, number one in the charts, like it's still sitting at high levels.
Yeah, his was quite fairly reviewed from what I saw. McCartney's, which I was quite surprised at because I know he's had some stinkers.
Yeah.
But no, that one apparently is, it sounds all right. I've not listened to it either.
Yeah, it's crazy how many people are still in the scene. Like Morrissey released like his 29,000th album or whatever he did last year. He just churns them out though. Like he just does it because it's a habit now, I think.
But he's been cancelled, so you know.
Yeah, it's Morrissey. Are we surprised?
No. That was okay. What is your number four then?
My number four, I'm going to run with. I've got quite a lot written down, and I'm going to pick the day.
Good.
So I actually have. I'm torn because I think. No, for this one, number four, I'm going to pick Bieber Doobie's album.
Okay.
Fake It Flowers.
Right, okay.
Bieber Doobie, she's a young artist who's recently, blown up massively. Massive support from Radio 1, huge albums, chart-topping sort of stuff. And it's this soulful, has these guitar riffs that can roughen up some of the edges of the tracks, and it's it's got this 2000s UK rock and roll influence involved in some of the songs, but also she's heavily influenced by the people like Billie Eilish or your Lana Del Rey's or your more soulful, slower, pour your heart out type of tracks. And that Bieber Doobie's Fake It Flowers has been one of the most impressive albums and come-ups of the last year. She's blown everything out of the water for people coming through the scene because it completely takes away that stigma of being this young girl trying to make it in the industry without having to do it she's done it in the same way that Billie Eilish did, in the way of it's not having to be something sexual, it's not having to be something just solely sad, it's not something you have to be just solely singing. It's something where she can create whatever creativity project she wants to create, and it's done so well. And it's broken that stigma that maybe it might have had from when Madonna, Britney and all that lot were in the scene, and they were kind of, it was quite overly sexualized and this and that. Whereas Bieber Doobie will just sing about being sad in her bedroom, but make a rock and roll tune out of it. Or she'll talk about her actual life in the same way that a male vocalist would. And I think that's something that is making leaps and strides in the development of music and the industry, that album. I think it's a turning point for the industry and especially women in music. I think it's something that's really, really important because it now feels even though it's not an equal playing field in a sense, at the moment in the industry, it's still considerably unfair. That Bieber Doobie album, just kind of I felt like that alone kind of gave it a little bit people kind of pricked their ears and were like, oh, okay.
These women have something to say.
Yeah, literally. I feel like there's been so many people where they've gone, what? She's a woman and making music like this? And I'm like, good on you. I didn't think like that. But this album, I was like, I saw it coming and I thought, this is going to be good. But when it came out and it had such a massive reception, I was like, fair play. take my hat off. It's got to be put up there. It's such a brilliant, brilliant album.
Fantastic. Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I'm gonna see your Bieber Doobie, and I'm gonna go with, I think it would be pronounced, I don't know, Waka Hatcha. I actually have no idea. It's or Waxahachie. I thought the X might be a I don't know, W-A-X, Ahachie, which it's the album Saint Cloud is the album. This is sort of a country-tinged female singer-songwriter stuff. I thought it might pair nicely. It's a really nice kind of Sunday mid-morning listen, I think. It's one of those. It's like coffee's on the go. Maybe you've had a big breakfast, you haven't got anything to do, you pop this album on and you just sit there and, you know, I don't know, read the paper or just sit and watch the vinyl spin or whatever. You've got a track like Hell, which is, it's sort of, it's kind of, you know, nice. It's just nice track, predictably nice. Kind of, I don't know if it's a single, but it sounds like it'd be a single. But then you've got a track like Arkadelphia, which is a bit more complex lyrically. There's just more interesting things going on. It's kind of got a, it's one of those albums, I don't know if you share this phenomenon, but the Bryan Adams song Summer of 69 has always, and I've chatted with friends about this, has always had this idea of making you feel nostalgic for a life you've never had.
Yeah.
Like there's something in some of those lines, like standing on your mother's porch and all these things that just make me feel nostalgic for a life I've never led.
Yeah.
And there's something really to that. She, this artist really captures that, that vibe really well. And this sort of, kind of Americana thing, which, yeah, I can sort of take a limited amount of it. And this is just the right amount, I think.
Yeah.
And it's it's just a really, not just nice and pleasant, but like there's a, you know, there's soul in there and there's heart in there, and very, very listenable. And so I've no idea how to pronounce the name. Waxahachie, let's go with that. And the album is Saint Cloud.
Yeah, that sounds like that's something that's going to have to go on my list of things to listen to, because I've not, country's my mum's favorite genre. Like my mum's loves country, so like Darius Rucker and all of that.
Oh yeah.
All of them, like that's the only one I can remember, because that's the only one I actually
that's
enjoy.
Probably, he's a good old country boy.
Yeah, like that's the only thing that I can personally enjoy. Country sometimes be a bit much, but that sounds like that perfect mix of like country but has a little bit of a almost modern,
oh yeah,
newer sound to it. It's like country influence, not necessarily country by the sound of it.
Definitely. It swings the needle a little bit more towards the sort of soulful singer songwriter pop stuff, but you can hear the roots. I think it's I think she's from Arkansas, so like you can hear some of the twang, but it's not in your face at all. So yeah.
That's really good.
Lovely.
Cool.
Let's round it out then. What's number five?
Number five, right. This is the one I'm stuck with.
Okay.
My number five, because Blossom's Foolish Love in Spaces.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant album. It's amazing. Sports Team's newest album as well. Hit number one in the charts as an up-and-coming indie band. So I'm torn between them and Porridge Radio's Every Bad.
Ah, okay.
So Porridge Radio's Every Bad is a more unique indie listen.
Yep.
Sports Team's album did masses for the indie music genre, in a sense that they just kind of released it. It just spiked. Like everyone got on the bandwagon, everyone jumped in and was like, let's all buy it, let's see if we can get a number one out of the industry. And it happened. And then Blossoms is just a brilliant Blossoms album. Like it is just a good Blossoms album, like anthemic singer songwriter, like synthy pop that can be played to stadiums. Like it's built for that, and it's a brilliant album. But I think I'm gonna go for my fifth. I've got to go with Blossoms, I think, just because I have this, I love Blossoms. I have done for a very long while, and this album I did play on repeat consistently for the first, like when it released, for the first like month or two.
Yeah.
I just played the album over and over again, just continuously because the tracks were just so, so brilliant.
Unsurprisingly, I do remain supremely ignorant, but you've made a good case for them. I could go for some good synth. I'm starting to get back into not necessarily EDM, but appreciating stuff that it's a bit more adjacent to that. I think I'm starting to feel like I could get into stuff that's a bit more synthy.
It's very like if the Smiths were made in the 80s, would probably be a little bit how I described it, in the sense of that sort of synth pop.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that real like long synthy chords,
mm-hmm,
alongside like this Tom Ogden's voice is something that just kind of sits above it, and you know, it's not as like weary and draining as maybe the Smiths were, but
yeah,
it's got this element of like it's got an element of stadium readiness, festival readiness, of where you can sing along, bounce around. You're not going to be moshing to it, but you're going to bounce around and have a good time, which I think that, and that album, like, it felt like a lot of it came from the heart as well, which is nice.
That sounds great. It's been a while since it's been a while since we've all been to a gig. Let's go to a gig.
Don't. I've had so many cancelled and rearranged. Oh. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's been a thing. It really has.
Yeah, it's been so tough.
All right. I am going to take us home with Fleet Foxes.
Okay, cool.
Shore by Fleet Foxes. I got into them. I kind of dropped off, so I got into them in 2008. I think, with their first album.
Yeah.
And I just dug it, and back in the days when I used to listen to music when I was commuting as opposed to podcasts, I remember coming back from an interview for a job, and listening to was the Whitewater Hymnal. I think that was one of the first tracks on the album, remember listening to it and just getting wrapped up in this lovely autumnal sound, and the lead singer's vocals and the harmonies. I'm a big fan of, I do love a good vocal harmony, and just these kind of slightly meandering melodies that aren't necessarily that predictable, but sort of beautiful and kind of bittersweet. I think they had an EP called Mykonos, which I enjoyed, and then I kind of jumped off they weren't capturing me as much, but then their latest album has got some really nice bits to it. There's Featherweight has got a sort of a strange Americana vibe, which I can appreciate, but wouldn't want a whole album. It's a bit more pop tinged now. The sound is maybe a little bit fuller, but then you've got I'm not my season, which is like a classic Fleet Foxes sound. It's just like it's back to that kind of sound that I enjoyed, with the guy on lead vocals just doing his thing, and then yeah, it's just nice and melodic, and it's nice to have a familiar artist again. So
I think that's stuff we've needed as well this last year with 2020. I feel like the albums that were released were all brilliant albums, even though there wasn't many of them. Like, I feel like most of the albums that was released, like Ariana Grande released an album that, mm-hmm, I'm not a massive Ariana Grande fan normally, but I loved this album. Like, I'll happily say, like, I'll listen to that album and the one before multiple times, because it just was good. It just sounds brilliant. And there's so many artists that are coming out with that. Familiarity.
Yeah, that's the one.
Familiarity. Right.
That was it. You nailed it.
that sound, it just comes through, and it's like, it just is almost, it reminds you that things are going to be okay again. And I think that's what I really enjoy about what the industry has been about this last year.
So this is Elliot, and clearly a man who enjoys his music, as do I, if, you know, perhaps I haven't listened to anything new since about 2009. But still, I think we make a good list. So we'll get to that list and combine our picks into a top five in just a bit. So I know it's been a couple of weeks or more since the last episode, and I know this season has been a little bit higgledy-piggledy. So I'll apologize for that. The last few weeks have been rather stressful. So as I made an allusion in this episode, well, I didn't make an allusion, I made a flat out mention of the fact that I ran effectively a software as a service company, a company that made it possible for you to upload your podcast and manage all of that stuff, editing the website and all that stuff, right? So if you've got a podcast and you want to put it on the internet and allow people to hear it, then that was the service that I ran. Now, I use the past tense because as of essentially 8 days ago from the release of this episode, that company the product has now been sold to the fine folk at Castos, who are now the new benevolent overlords of Podient, my company. So I am going to be doing other things, which I may talk to you a little bit about in the next episode, but I don't want to burden us too much with all of that. But over the intervening weeks, it's been really hard to think about anything creative, really. You know, I've been learning the guitar, and that went to pot. But I'm finally sort of starting to get to get back some semblance of, right, there are things to do. I've got a mounting to-do list. Not that I just need to get this episode out. Like, I really want to honor the time that my guests spend with me, you know, and I love the fact that we get to sit and have these conversations. So, we'll talk about the future of List Envy in the next episode. But for now, I think we should continue the work that we came here to do and build our top five list of albums of 2020. So now we have the difficult task of trying to combine. This is really going to be hard. Trying to combine what we've had. So from you, we had Weird by Youngblood, Girlfriend's self-titled album, JME, Grime MC, Bieber Doobie, Fake Flowers, and then Blossom's Foolish Loving Spaces. And from me, Run the Jewels, RTJ4. St. Cloud by Waxahachie, Letter to You by the Boss, Women in Music Part 3 by Haim, and Shaw by Fleet Foxes. I've had a little go as we've been talking of trying to come up with a combination.
Nice.
A dovetailing, if you will. And I'll read these to you in reverse order, and you can let me know what you think at the end and see what we need to change or whatever. So from 5-1, I've gone Women in Music, Part 3, Grime MC, Girlfriends, RTJ4, and then Youngblood at number 1. What are your thoughts? How does that strike you?
Yeah, I think that's pretty good. I think I'd probably take... that does sound really good, actually, because I think for Girlfriends, for me, is one of them albums that, like, I listen to a lot.
Sure.
So I don't know whether if we're doing like the best five albums of 2020.
Well, we are the deciding panel, so.
True. I think if we take
Girlfriends. What we say goes.
I think we take Girlfriends out and put Bieber Doobie in.
Okay.
Would be, I think, my one change to that, just because Girlfriends is an album that I think is very niche to like me loving it. It's a really like, I wouldn't say it was the best album of 2020. But it was my favorite album of 2020, would be like how I'd describe it. But Youngblood, Weird, and then Run the Jewels second, I think is them, that top two, I think is right in line with where it needs to be.
Fantastic. So here we go. So from 5-1, Women in Music, Grime MC, Fake It Flowers, RTJ4, and then Weird. Elliot Farrer, do you consent to this list?
I consent. Yeah.
Are there any honorable mentions, anything that, well, it's, I mean, it, you've already come up with some that didn't make the list. We Demand Parachutes sounds fantastic.
Oh, We Demand Parachutes, like they've only released three singles, but they are good. They are very
I'm looking
good.
Forward to that, checking them out. Who else?
I think Working Men's Club's self-titled album needs an honorable mention. That didn't make the cut. And Dream Nails, self-titled album, Dream Nails. That's like punk as you get, like female-led punk that's just like talking about like, it's just heavy, in your face, like you love women, but you don't actually love women sort of music. Do you know what I mean? It's that like, it's like really taking on misogynistic values and just like showing them the door. And as they're showing them the door, they've kicked their head in on the way out. Like that's what, and I love it. I love that from them. And I think that album, you know, they've got tracks like, some of their tracks are called, I think one of their tracks is called Vagina Police 2.0. We put a track into the playlist, Chirps Degree Burns, which essentially is about like
that's a great title.
Someone that's not texting you back, but it's like, as a band,
I haven't heard the word chirps in ages.
Chirps Degree Burns.
You're chirpsing.
Yeah. Kiss My Fist was another one. Text Me Back, Chirps Degree Burns.
Brilliant.
And then one of the Women and Non-Binary People to the Front, which was a skit. They've got a few skits in it, which
Bringing that back,
which I love. Like they've got these things where like skits within their album, like the whole way through, there's like an affirmation skit at the start and then a Do You Want to Go to Work skit. And it's almost between every few tracks, they've got these like random skits within it. And it's, that's a Dream Now self-titled album came out last year. That's good.
Very good. So tell me, please, Elliot, tell me about the Scratch Record podcast.
The Scratch Record podcast is a collective of myself and my co-host, Joe. And we have a small team around us of cameramen and designers and stuff like that, that we get involved that are close friends of ours. But essentially, what we're trying to do is close the gap between the creators and the consumers of up-and-coming alternative and indie rock and roll. So, and alt-pop and the alternative genre and the indie genre, we're trying to take these artists and almost just give them to the people that will like them, essentially.
Nice.
And we run a podcast at the moment, is like our main outlet of content, which we interview up-and-coming artists and show them to the world of the personality, which is not the mainstream, not like mainstream media.
Mm-hmm.
Because we feel that mainstream media is so planned, it's so orchestrated, it's so weary conversation sometimes. So essentially what we try and do is make it fun, make it like you sat in the pub with the artist that we're interviewing and just have a good chat. So we're literally closing that gap, building a platform for the people to be able to find the best up-and-coming music in the genre at the moment.
Fantastic. So where can people check out the podcast and follow you and your work?
So the podcast is on everything. We're on Spotify, Apple, Pocket Cast, Google Cast, all of the main podcast providers. So if you want to go check the podcast out, make sure you follow it and put the notifications on for when we post. We post every Tuesday.
Nice.
And we have some major interviews coming, and we have a website, www.tsrp.co.uk, which you can buy our merchandise, and as well you can check the podcast out through there. We're on YouTube, we're on TikTok, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on every social media platform at the SR Podcast.
You're unavoidable.
Yeah, we are everywhere at the SR Podcast. Just come find us and like shout us if you need a new artist to listen to, because we'll tell you one.
Oh, superb. What an offer. Well, Elliot, this has been an absolute pleasure. The time has flown by. I can't believe it's been in over an hour.
Wow.
I know. This has been wonderful. Thank you. I always feel when it comes to music things, like I know what I like and I like what I know. And so I always feel a little bit intimidated when I get proper music guests on, because I'm like, I don't know if I qualify.
Mate, everyone qualifies. If you like, I don't play instruments. I used to play when I was a child, but I'm not musically talented. I just know that I like good music. So essentially, when I find good music, I like showing people, and everyone has that in them. I just think that people need to realize that, like, you listen to what you listen to. Don't be scared of what anyone else thinks about what you listen to. Just listen to who you enjoy and it makes you qualified to talk about it. I run a podcast that's got a decent enough platform, and I can't play a guitar. So, like, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not the most qualified person in the world.
Nor can I, but I'm doing grade four now.
See, you've got a piano. Is that a keyboard stand in the background as well?
Yeah, there's a keyboard stand. There's a piano in the living room, because I did my stint. I got up to grade six, I think, on the piano, and I love playing the piano. But last year, as lockdown hit, actually it was before lockdown, I was like, I want to learn the guitar. It's about time. I've tried for like decades. I get so far in, and then I'm just like, forget it. And I've given it a solid year so far. So I'm now getting ready to take my first exam.
See, you're more.
I don't know when that'll be.
You're more qualified than me in music. I think I've got like grade two in the cello, and that's about all I've got.
Nice. That's a proper instrument. Do you follow Tamara Ginsberg?
No, I don't follow Tamara Ginsberg.
She's worth a follow. She's a cellist who she records herself playing like eight different parts, and she'll take like a piece of video game music or a score from a film, and she'll do a cello version of it.
Fantastic. That's great.
Yeah, she's really good.
I love that.
She's a high quality follower.
Yeah, I'll give that a check out, because I love some of them people that are like a band called Deco at the minute. If you're on Twitter, you will have seen, and we've literally just done a podcast with them, which will, when this comes out, it'll be out. So if you, Deco, go listen to it. So we've just done an interview with Deco, and they've recently blown up because they've done that ones with like lots of different segments and building a song. But they've been doing 80s crossovers and mashups. So they did a Wonderwall mashup with, I think it was Simple Minds, and they've done like a Britney Spears mashup with, oh, I can't think who it was, but they've done loads of like mashups of like 80s tracks and then a more modern track. And it's like, it's so good. And they've been doing these mashups, and it's like blowing them out of water. The Wonderwall one, Liam Gallagher reposted it on TikTok and like blew it up. They were on BBC News. They were on TalkSport, all chatting about this mashup that they've done. And it like, it was crazy, but they did it all separately on lockdown and then like built the track together. In these little videos, I find that's so engaging when there's so many different elements going on like that.
Well, I've got some homework, and I think the listener has too. Links are, of course, in the show notes for everything that we've talked about, because there's lots of good stuff there. So, Elliot, thank you for joining me this week. It's been an absolute pleasure. I've loved it.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed it. Where can we find this? When can we find this? Where will it be? This podcast.
It'll be at listenvpod.com.
Listenvpod.com. Nice.